Well, if you were here last Sunday, I'm going to invite up Pastor Matthew. If you were here last Sunday, you had the privilege of hearing from him speak on John 9. And there was a phrase he said in there that said, it's Jesus healing a blind man. And Pastor Matthew said, that is true physically. This is my interpretation of his words. That is true physically, but that is also true spiritually. So if you had the privilege of hearing him last week, you are blessed again this Sunday, but I'm going to hand it over to him. Thank you, Pastor Matthew, for coming and filling it. If I can say one more thing, I didn't even have to ask him to come down. He messaged and said, you're probably not going to be prepared to speak. Would you like us to help? So thank you for just being willing to jump in.
Thank you for having me again. And, obviously, we weren't initially prepared to do the 2 weeks in a row, and it was such a blessing to know that Pastor Mike, the lead pastor down in OMAC, he was camping this week, so he took some time out to cover for me this week down in OMAC, and then I could come up and just be blessed by you guys again as I just share what God has laid on my heart, and I pray that today's message will speak to you. The way it's been speaking to me as I've been preparing this week. So thank you, Pastor Mac, for having me, and thank you to all of you. And so I have a question I'm going to ask you today. I'm just trying to be attentive to hearing the voice of God today, because he's just asked me to do something a little different to what I prepared, because, and obviously that must have been in preparation with the fact that I heard Pastor Mac pray that. And I'm like, why did you pray that? Oh, I spent all week preparing. That's good. No, it's still there. We're still in John 10 today. But my question to you today is this. Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear? And then I want to ask, are you attentive to the leading of the Good Shepherd? And our reading will be from John 10, and I will again be reading from the ESV version. If you would like to follow me in that one, otherwise that's up to you how you would like to follow. But this just follows on a conversation that started in John 9. And we know that Jesus healed the blind man, and he went through that whole thing of teaching his disciples, and then he ended off John 9 having a conversation with the Pharisees and saying, guys, you're blind, you cannot see. And now he's going to carry on saying something a little bit more onto that one, because as I mentioned last week, Jesus has a few more buttons to push, right? And he knows exactly what buttons he needs to push, because there were some of the Pharisees, right, that did turn and follow Jesus. But many of their hearts were hardened. They were blind to not see what was to come, and they were deaf to hear the voice. So I'm going to read John 10, and I initially was going to just read through the first 21 verses, but I'm going to take this whole chapter as it is, and because I am going to refer here and there to some of the later chapters. Later verses in this chapter. So if you would like to follow through with me, John 10 from the ESV. Jesus is speaking and he's continuing this conversation with the Pharisees. And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door climbs in by another way. That man is a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. Before we carry on, and this was not in my message, I just want to paint a little bit of a picture. Now, I know you guys have already done the I am statements in a series, and Jesus here makes a very profound statement where he says, I am the door, right? All right, there's two statements, two I am statements that come out of this. But just this picture of the door, and what would happen is when the shepherds would take the sheep out into pasture, they would go far from town. They weren't able just to bring the sheep back in the evening and then take them out at night. And they would be between the hills and the mountains, and there would be dangers all over the place. And what they'd do is they'd normally find a cave, or they'd find a circle of really tall thorn bushes, or what they'd do is they'd pack rocks. A whole lot of shepherds would come in with each of their sheep, and they'd come together as one group, and they'd share the space, because it's, you know, there's unity in numbers, and there's a strength in numbers, right? So then they would come and they'd pack big rocks, and they would pack probably 6 to 7 feet high. They would pack these rocks into a huge circle. And there would only be one small entrance for the sheep to come in and out. They could come in and out one at a time. And this would be the way. And then they'd put some thorn branches over on top so that the predators, the thieves, be it men or be it wolves or whatever it was, couldn't climb over that wall. That was the point. And what they would do at night, you know, when it was time to go sleep, 11 o'clock at night, they'd have their little campfire going outside of the circle, is they would take turns. And then they would have a shepherd go and they would lie in front. They would lie across the opening. And this is how they would lie. And that shepherd was responsible for making sure that no sheep could come out and no thief could come in. Because if anyone had to start walking in to that area, they'd have to get past that shepherd that was lying in the way. So when Jesus says, I am the shepherd, and he says, I am the door, this is what he means. I'm in that way. No one can come into that space to my sheep unless they come through me. They got to get past me first. And woe to he who tries to get past me to my sheep. All right, so when he says, I am the door, this is what he means. And he is speaking that I am there. I'm lying in that space. I'm watching. I'm attentive. I'm awake. I'm making sure that no one can come past me and no one can get to the sheep. And the sheep were safe as long as they stayed inside that area. In South Africa, we would call that a kraal. So it's just the term, Afrikaans term. Okay, so let me find my place again. All right, so then he goes on, and we all know the scripture verse in verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Right? I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And just to make a note here, because it's not in my notes, this is just making note to the Gentiles that were still to be brought in to the flock. Because initially he came in for the Israelites because they were the promised people. And he said, I've got other people that are not of this fold and they will be in and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Paul refers to this a lot in his letters when he writes to the Gentiles and the Jews having unity. Verse 17, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Yet others said, These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Well, there's wisdom right there. So verse 22, at that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter. Okay, so this is a little while after this conversation now. There's a bit of a break. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are Christ, tell us plainly." So they've just asked for this, right? And Jesus answers them and he says, "I told you, come now, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." You hear that? The Jews picked up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It's not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for the blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." So Jesus answers, and he's referring to a psalm here, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming'? Because I said, 'I am the Son of God.' If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. And many believed in him there. Lord, may you just take this word. May you speak it through me. Move my agenda out the way, and may your word remain true in every single heart that hears. Holy Spirit, do your work through this word in Jesus' name. So we've now heard this massive metaphorical proclamation that Jesus has made. He's speaking about being the shepherd. He's speaking about being the door. He's speaking about all of this. And as I've mentioned, I know that you guys have done the series on the I Am statements, and that's not what I'm going to try cover today. And last week I mentioned about being born blind, right? I prayed that your eyes would be opened. The disciples were blind by culture in how they assumed what caused the blindness in the man outside the synagogue. Then Jesus made it clear to the Pharisees that they too were spiritually blind, right? So chapter 10, as we continue this conversation, the Pharisees at the end of chapter 9 had just made this proclamation that just showed people that the Pharisees saw themselves as greater than anyone and even the law. They thought themselves the bee's knees. They were the man, right? No one could challenge them. And Jesus, obviously, he knew what had gone on. He had that conversation with the blind man at the end. And he asks them, and he tries to bring them down to earth a little bit. And then he has this conversation, and he's like, "Guys, I think it's time for a wake-up call. You ask me plainly, and I'm going to answer plainly." And Jesus points out to them in this passage that they are deaf to the voice of God. They are acting according to their own will and their own way. And I know sometimes we too can get caught up in what we want and how we want to do things. and we forget to listen to what the Lord has to say. And we're not getting rebuked by Jesus for doing that. I mean, we're human, right? We make mistakes. It's fine. But do you have spiritual ears to hear? Jesus uses an age-old metaphor when he goes through this passage, and he refers to the people of God as sheep. This is something that has been referred to through the ages. So the Pharisees should understand exactly what he's talking about when he says, these are the sheep. Now I am the shepherd who's come. So he's showing them that it's time that the shepherd takes over the work from the hired hands. We read in Psalm 100, verse 3, just one of many scriptures that use this metaphor, just to show you. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So Jesus now carries on as he's just used this metaphor, and he's referred to them as sheep, and he's referred to himself as a shepherd, and he just makes the people that are listening, because you must remember, he might be having this conversation with the Pharisees, but he's not just talking to them. He's got hundreds of people probably following him at the time, listening to this conversation. And it's probably why the Pharisees get so angry, because they feel like they're getting embarrassed in front of all these people. But he then goes on and he starts warning the people of the dangers to come. The dangers that they are going to face. And believe me, it is things that we are still facing today. So why does he use sheep? Why does the Bible refer to us as sheep? Okay. And some people, when they hear this, they might say, oh, I'm going to get offended by this one. I mean, why did you say this? But just listen and I will explain. So, I mean, we know sheep, right? They're cuddly and they're meek and they're mild. They're not going to hurt anyone. Okay. They might have good teeth, but they're not going to hurt someone. You just look at them and you go, oh, sheep. All right. I know when we drive and we go on long distances, I know that the ladies in our car, sheep, sheep, look at all the sheep, and they love it. Sheep are cute. They are. So maybe we are too. Firstly, Isaiah 53 verse 6 tells us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, this him is prophesying Jesus right there, the iniquity of us all. So here we hear that sheep tend to wander. They turn to their own ways. They do their own thing sometimes, and they stop paying attention to what's going. They got a short attention span. All right. I think sheep might be a little bit ADHD, and they just like, and then they lose focus, and then they start wandering, and they're like, ooh, grass. All right. And if they left unattended, they tend to wander. They start looking to see what they can do or where they can go. And they always go for what seems to be the next best thing if they think it will suit them. So there's number one. Secondly, sheep are super skittish. All right. Now, if you know anything about sheep, you know that when there's a huge thunderstorm, you generally try to just make sure that they're not going to get out, because they will break through a fence when there's loud noises. They are so skittish that moving water scares them. Did you know that you cannot take a sheep to moving water to drink? They will not. You have to take them to still waters. They have to drink from something that is at rest. They cannot. That's how skittish they are. That sounds familiar, right? He leads me beside still waters because I'm super skittish and my faith is little. Then thirdly, sheep do not have a defense system. Not at all. They're one of the few animals that have absolutely no defense system. I think God literally created them to be domesticated. Because they cannot. They've got short, stumpy legs as adults, so they ain't going to run anywhere. Unlike the lambs that go prancing through, they've got short, stumpy legs. And then to weigh them down, they've just got like a ton of wool, right? So they're big and fluffy with tiny little legs. They cannot growl. They cannot bite. They cannot scream. They cannot stand up and make themselves look bigger. They don't have spikes or anything to defend themselves. They're just defenseless. In fact, if a predator came along, they're probably just going to roll on their backs and go, "Oh, I'm lamb chops." That's what they're going to do. I mean, that's all. I surrender. Okay, so the list can go on. I'm not going to go through everything. And because the point that I want to make is not the flaws of the sheep or of human beings. I mean, we're flawed, literally. But what I do want to point out is that sheep cannot survive without the care of a shepherd. That's the point I want to make. Plain fact, they need a shepherd. They are dependent on the shepherd. The sheep's only chance of survival is within the flock, together, under the watch and care of the shepherd, when they're actually ready to heed to and listen to the voice of that shepherd. So, Jesus then makes this thing. He points out that there's always an enemy that's trying to lure us from the shepherd. Okay? We've heard about the sheep, the wolf in sheep's clothing. We've never heard about a sheep in wolf's clothing. You just don't have the teeth for it. And we know John 10:10 well. And John 10:10, we read, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." But here's my question. Who is the thief? Who's this thief that he's talking about? And often people take the scripture verse out of context. And they know they're going to be like, "But it's the devil." That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying the devil. And if you actually read the scripture, you'll listen and you'll see that Jesus isn't saying the devil is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. Because if you go back to verse 1, he talks about the thief. And the thief is anyone who tries to enter the sheepfold without going through Jesus first. And don't get me wrong, the devil does try to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does use people to do so, right? But in this context, Jesus refers to them as wolves. And then if you go and read the Apostle Paul, and in Acts 20 to 29 to 31, he's having this conversation, and he actually refers to them, and he identifies them as false teachers who twist the word of God, drawing people away from Jesus. So when he's saying the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it's not just the devil at work. Sometimes it's the will of man or the greed of man. And I think this still relates today. And if you don't believe me, you can go watch nearly any, not all, but most kids' movies made in the last two and a half years. And just watch the subtle messages that are underlying those movies. Subtle. That are pushing a different agenda. Read the news and see what cases are getting pushed in court for rights to be brought forward that never existed because they were unbiblical. What about the agendas that are getting pushed in many schools today? What about some of the agendas that are even getting allowed, sadly, in many churches around the globe? You see, they're trying to take Jesus out of the equation. They're trying to prove that the Bible is not as applicable today as it was in Jesus' time. They would rather push the Word of God aside and motivate their own agendas. And there's always that subtle underlying message that manipulates and pushes us. And it influences our thinking. But let me tell you this, not to be negative, because I want to say, if the sheep are not attentive to the voice of the shepherd, they will easily be strayed by the glamorous false promises of the thief. Did you hear what I said? If the sheep are not attentive to the voice of the shepherd, they will easily be strayed by the glamorous false promises of the thief. Now there's good news. However, Jesus continues John 10:10-11. After saying the thief comes to steal, kill and destroy, he says, I came they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And we know that Jesus is the one who said, I am the good shepherd. So point number three is that Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, we've already established that Jesus is the good shepherd. I mean, he says it right here in the scripture verse a few times. And we need the shepherd, right? We've established that. He's not just any shepherd. He's not just a hired hand. No, firstly, he is good. And secondly, these are his sheep. In those times, you would not find the owner of the sheep watching the sheep. He had hired hands to do so, because most of the time the owner of the sheep also had vineyards to tend to and other things, land to tend to and other animals to tend to. So he had a lot to manage at once. And Jesus said, I'm not one of the hired hands who runs away when the wolf comes. And here, that's kind of like a jab at the Pharisees. They were the hired hands. They were the ones who strayed when push came to shove. And he says, but I will lay down my life for the sheep. And there he prophesies exactly what he's about to do a few chapters later. Just another prediction to his heroic action on the cross. And identifying as a shepherd demonstrates Christ's meekness and emphasizes the fact that he came for the lowliest of us all. Jesus said it himself in Matthew 11:29. He says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. He told his disciples at the Last Supper that he came to serve and not be served. So let's get to the crux of my message. A shepherd has a relationship with his sheep. Now Jesus tells the Pharisees in a later conversation in verse 25 that they don't understand him because they're not part of his sheepfold. They're not one of his sheep. And to be clear, it's not because they were outside of the sheepfold that they did not understand. But it was because they refused to hear and understand that they could not be one of his sheep. So Jesus is not saying, well, you're not one of my sheep, so that's why. No, he's saying, guys, if you really do come in, you'll understand, but you don't. It was because of their unbelief that they were not part of the flock. And in verse 27, a little bit later on, he says again, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Sheep know the shepherd and he knows them. Then the next point is that the sheep are attentive to his voice. We see this in verse 27, right? We've just read it. And then in verse 4 again as well, previously he says, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You see, I've seen what happens. I've seen it when a whole lot of shepherds come in, they've got a whole bunch of sheep in from a whole lot of different shepherds. What happens is that shepherd will stand out and he'll have a specific call. And when he calls, you will see that as he calls, one shepherd comes and calls at a time. All of his sheep, nobody else's sheep, and all of his sheep will come out of that enclosure. And they follow him. They know his voice, and he'll just traipse on and his sheep will follow him. Because they trust him, they understand, they listen to his voice. It's fascinating to watch how these sheep come in from between all the other sheep and they push their way past. I've just heard my shepherd, I've just heard my shepherd, I need to go, I need to go. And there they are. Do you recognize God's voice when He is speaking to you? Do you listen? Do you follow that voice? We cannot be deaf to the voice of God because we're going to get left behind. We're going to get lost along the way. We need to listen. We need to be attentive to the voice of the shepherd. I think some of us would rather be poked and prodded, right? I want a physical, like, shove in the right direction, because every now and again we kind of miss it. But that's not how Jesus speaks. Remember Elisha on the mountain? Elijah. Where he's listening, and God came in the thunder. There was the thunder, there was the fire, there was all of this, and God was nowhere in any of that loud noise. There was nothing there that shook that mountain until there was a gentle whisper. Jesus is saying, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Don't get distracted by all the big things that are happening around you. Are you being still? Do you know that I am God? Can you hear my voice? Psalm 32, verse 8 to 9, he says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. So he's saying, don't be the horse. Don't be the donkey. Those guys need something to steer them. The sheep, they hear the voice and they follow. He's leading us through the work of the Holy Spirit, the soft, gentle whisper. He's leading us. God created us to be in relationship with the shepherd, to be totally dependent on Him so that He can protect us, so that He can care for us, and He can show us the way. Because He sees everything. He knows everything. He's a lot wiser than we are. Sometimes we forget that, right? So if you have to open your spiritual ears and pray. Pray for direction. You need to pray for sensitivity. You have to learn to follow. The only way you're actually going to get to the beautiful pasture is if you follow the shepherd. You see, when we heed to and we follow the voice of our good shepherd, He will lead us to green pastures. There we will find our provision, our protection, and rest for our souls. There is so much I would love to share from the scripture verse, but I will keep you here all day, because I could break this down word for word for word. But this is what I want to make. We are the sheep. And yes, we can be stubborn. We can wander off easily. We can get scared easily when the thunder rolls in. We defenseless against our own enemy. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're talking worldly ideas, false teachers, concepts, the devil himself, and sometimes even our own minds. Anything that tries to bypass the shepherd. But however, we are totally reliant and dependent on the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, right? He has a relationship with us. He knows us better than anyone. He knows us better than ourselves. And we will recognize His voice if we just be still and listen and pay attention. Now, here's a question for you. How much time do you spend in your day just being still to listen? So many times our prayers are filled with requests and telling God what to do and how to do it for our own lives, how we think it should be done. But how much time do you sit just waiting on Him? Just listening to what He has to say. When we are with the shepherd, we will need nothing because He will provide. And through him we will find safety, we'll find salvation. And it's through him that we will find the Father. And let me say, if we get lost, the Good Shepherd will come looking for you. We see it. Jesus used that parable of the 99 that he left behind to go looking for the one, right? We know the story. He did it when he died on the cross. He gave us a way. And he's done so much to show us who he is and what his intentions are. Verse 37 to 38, we read, "If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me." How much did Jesus do while he was on earth? Just in those 3 years he was in ministry. "But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Even after following and scrutinizing Jesus for years, the Pharisees refused to see. They were blinded and they refused to hear. They were deaf because their hearts were hardened. They tried killing him and arresting him despite everything he did. But then you look on the opposite side, and before I get that, maybe just to show, this is what the Pharisees was, who Jesus was referring to. In Matthew 6, verse 13 to 14, he said, "Though seeing," Matthew 6, 13 to 14, "though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving.'" But you see now, the opposite side of things is people on the other side of the Jordan River, when Jesus left the Pharisees now, and he goes, continues on in verse 40 to 42, at the end of our scripture, we hear that these people's reaction was different. It says here, "He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, 'John did no signs, but everything John said about this man was true.'" Do you see? Suddenly they recognize. "And many believed in him there." Are you ready to listen? Are you ready to be still? Are you ready to pay attention to the Good Shepherd? To let your eyes see and your hearts hear today? To recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. Let me encourage you with Psalm 23, we know so well. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful that we don't have to rely on our own will and way. That you are there with us all the time. That we are your people and you, Lord, are our shepherd. Lord, we just look to you in every circumstance. We know that you promise never to leave us or forsake us. You go before us and you watch over us. We do not want to go anywhere unless you are there. We acknowledge you as the Good Shepherd. We acknowledge you as the way, the truth, and the life. We acknowledge your deity and sovereign power. We acknowledge you as our Lord and our Savior, the one who gave up his life to save ours. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we are sorry that there are times where we wander off and we get ourselves lost, caught in a thorn bush here or whatever it is. How grateful we are that your rod and your staff protect us and lead us back to you, that you came looking for us every single time. Help us to better hear your voice and to follow your leading daily. May we go into this week close at your heel. May we be attentive to what is going on around us, but never distracted from your loving voice. Watch over us. Protect us. Keep us safe in your arms. And Lord, to you be all the glory, the honor, and the praise forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing another song, and I'm not sure who's going to close from there, but I just want to ask that as we get ready to sing that song, I want to just speak out a small benediction over you. So can I ask you just to stand as we get ready to sing? And this is, again, just from Psalm 23, but I've put it into third-person context, and I just want to pray this as you receive. That even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you will fear no evil, for he is with you. His rod and his staff, they comfort you. May you be attentive. May you be aware of the leading of the Good Shepherd. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.